Well, today we're jumping back into our series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. We took a little break last week because I felt like the Lord was leading me to actually share a video message that I had the pleasure of hearing at our Foursquare National Convention back in May. And it was a powerful message by a pastor who pastors a Foursquare church actually in Brooklyn, New York. And it's honestly one of the best messages, if not the best message I've ever heard on God's unconditional love for his people. And I think many that were here agree with me, as I got a lot of responses and comments and emails last week about that message. And so I actually put the audio version online and would encourage you to go and listen to it if you missed out last week. It is a powerful message. Powerful word. And so go check it out if you didn't get to listen to it. But today, we're jumping back into our series through the Bible, as we're actually going to wrap up the Old Testament this morning. We're going to come to the end of the Old Testament. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Malachi chapter 3. If you've been around at all lately, you know that we've spent the last couple months looking at many of the prophets that we find here in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, the last 17 books of the Old Testament were actually written by these prophets. And these were prophets that, as we've shared, God raised up during the time of the kings and during the time that Israel was actually taken into exile. And it was these prophets who spoke out against the disobedience and the idolatry of the kings and the people of Israel. And these prophets, they prophesied of their exile that was going to happen. And they warned them numerous times of the destruction that Israel would face if they continued to disobey God and disobey his commands. And as we get into the end of the Old Testament, we find that the last several books here are very, very similar. In each of these books, the many different prophets like Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, all of them, they warn Israel of their destruction. And they share prophecy of what is to come in the future. And as I was studying these final books of the Old Testament, as I was reading about their warnings, I realized that each of these prophets had this glimmer of hope in the midst of their messages. Many of them prophesied of the new king that would come from the line of David, that would save his people. And then one of the glimmers of hope that these prophets would talk about, as I read through all these last books in the Bible, was about this faithful remnant. This remnant of people that despite the sin and corruption that was going on amongst the people of Israel, despite the fact that many of these people had engaged in idolatry and adultery and they were turning their backs on God, this remnant of people remained faithful and continued to follow the commands of the Lord. And these prophecies that we read here at the end of the Old Testament seem to speak of a future remnant as well that continues to remain faithful in the midst of this fallen, broken world. And so as we wrap up the Old Testament this morning, I felt led to look at these people known as the faithful remnant. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Malachi 3, verses 13 through 18. This is what it says. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it's futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. And then in verse 16, it switches directions here. It says, then Those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And we're going to stop there this morning. And we see here, as we read these scriptures, that there's this tension between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. And in verses 13 through 15, there's this idea that serving God is pointless. It's futile or meaningless. This idea that basically says, why should we serve God? Because those that don't seem to have it better than those that do. And this is the excuse of many of the Jews, many of the people of Israel who have abandoned the ways of God. But then as we get into verses 16 through 18, we see this idea of the faithful remnant. And if you have an NIV Bible, that section, verses 16 through 18, is actually titled The Faithful Remnant. And it's these faithful few that have remained faithful to the Lord when everyone else had turned their backs on him. Now, we have to remember that this is a day and age where the world is full of sin and corruption. And most of God's people have fallen into the sins of the world, where they worship other gods and engage in these pagan lifestyles, all because they think serving God is meaningless. But we see here in these scriptures that serving God is far from meaningless, because it's those that serve God who will be spared. Their names will be written in the book of life. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one that is spared. And I hope that all of us desire to be part of that faithful remnant who continue to seek and serve God. And so I guess the question is, how do we become one of the faithful remnant? And that's what I kind of want to look at and focus on this morning. What is it that we can learn from the faithful remnant here in Malachi chapter 3? Well, there were three main things as I read through this section of scripture that stood out to me that I want to share with you this morning. And so the first thing that I think we learn when it talks about this faithful remnant is this. Number one, they feared the Lord. They feared God. Twice in verse 16, it refers to them as people who feared the Lord. And this word fear, it's such an interesting word in this context when we talk about God and fearing God. It comes from the Hebrew word yare, which translates as having this awe or reverence for something or someone. It's one of those definitions that we don't want to overstate, but at the same time, we don't want to understate it either, right? Because God doesn't want us to be afraid of him in the sense that we run from him and that we keep our distance and we hide from God. But we also have to realize that he is God, right? He created all things. He is in charge. And ultimately, he can do whatever he chooses because he is God. And we cannot take that reality for granted. Think for a moment, as I was processing this, think for a moment about the very first faithful remnant that we see in the scriptures. That would be Noah and his family. The first faithful remnant. The flood destroyed everyone. human-wise, except for Noah and his family. And when you think about the flood and the kind of power that God has, because he is God, right? He at any time could say, you know what, forget this world, right? But he doesn't, because he loves us and he's promised us that he will never flood the earth again like that. But when you think about the flood and the kind of power that God has, because he is God, it brings about this awe and this reverence of his power. And it should cause us to have a healthy fear of the Lord, of who he is and what he's capable of. Now, the amazing thing is that this God who created all things and has all the power of the world, he loves us. Every single one of us, everyone in this room, he loves us and he desires to have a relationship with us. And when we think about his love and the fact that he is God and knows all things, that healthy fear and reverence of the Lord should honestly then drive us to serve him and to obey his commands. Because if we've learned anything as we've walked through this series, as we've gone through the Old Testament, it should be of God's love and grace for his people, right? As we've walked through this series, time and time again, we've seen God show love and grace to the people of Israel, who time and time again turn their backs on him, right? So we should realize that God isn't this sick, sadistic ruler who makes up rules just for the fun of it. Oh, let's see what happens if I do this. Ooh, let's do this and see how they respond. That's not the God that we serve. Instead, he is a God who loves us and has given us these commands because he knows that they will ultimately help us and draw us closer to him. You see, the fear of the Lord should honestly bring us closer to him, because our greatest fear should actually be a life without him. That should be our greatest fear. You see, the people of Israel began to think that they didn't need God, that life without him was just as good, if not better. But the one thing I know I never want to experience is a life void of the presence of God. Think about that, because honestly, none of us can fully understand what that would be like. That's literally hell. That's what hell is. And though we live in a fallen, broken world that sometimes feels like hell, we still have the presence of God at work, holding all the broken pieces of our world together. He is still here. He is still present, whether you want to acknowledge him or not. This faithful remnant feared, they respected the Lord, and they continued to seek him, and they continued to walk in his ways, even though all the others had gone astray. And the reality is, each of us have to make that same choice every day. Are we going to fear the Lord and walk in his ways, or are we going to live like the rest of the world? You know, if you remember back in Joshua when we were there, probably half a year ago or longer, in Joshua 24:15, Joshua challenged the people of Israel when he said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And then he goes on to say, "Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." The faithful remnant we see here are people who choose to fear the Lord and serve him. Now, the second thing that we learn about the faithful remnant in these scriptures is this. They spent time together. In verse 16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other." And some translations say they talked often with each other. It was something that they did on a regular basis. It's this idea of fellowship, which has a much deeper meaning than just the typical chit chat, right? They didn't just get together to talk about sports or politics or to share the latest gossip about Sister Sally, okay? And I hope there's nobody here named Sally. I tried to pick a name that nobody was. No, that's not why they got together. They got together and they talked about the things of God. They encouraged each other in the ways of the Lord, much like we do on Sunday mornings here. Or at our men's Bible studies, our women's Bible studies. You see, they got together and they shared about the Lord, that they opened up. They encouraged each other. They confessed things to one another. They cried. They prayed together. It was all about community. It was about helping each other grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Lord. This is what it's talking about in Hebrews 10. 24 and 25. I think I have it to go on the screen. I can't remember if I put this one up there or not. But in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching." There is great value in intentional fellowship. There is great value in us coming together and encouraging one another in a way that brings honor to the Lord, that lifts Him up. You'll notice there in verse 16 that it says, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard." You see, when we come together where two or more are gathered, when we encourage one another and talk about the Lord, it honors God. He listens and He's pleased by these things. You've heard me say here, if you've been at this church time and time again, that we gather here to glorify the Lord. And us meeting together and growing together, it glorifies Him. It pleases Him that the faithful remnant remembered who they were and they remembered what they were about. And though many began to do their own things, there were the faithful few, the proud, the marine. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Sorry, I was taken back to 1991 when I stood on those yellow footprints.
Sir, yes, sir.
Happens when I go off my notes, I get myself in trouble. There were the faithful few, that's where I was, that kept meeting. They kept coming together to talk about God, to remember the things of God, to encourage one another. And I found this in my lifetime. I found that I give attention, or the most attention, to those things that are important to me, right? And I think that's true of all of us. If we value something and we understand its importance, we will do whatever we have to make time for it. This faithful remnant, they valued the Lord. They made time for Him. They made it a priority to gather and to talk about Him and what He meant to their lives. And I hope that we too see this value and that we continue to make it a priority to gather together, to encourage one another and to grow in Him. That we gather here as a church, that we gather in our homes, in the local coffee shop, wherever, to continue to spur one another on in the ways of the Lord, and to truly be that iron that sharpens iron that it talks about in Proverbs 27:17. And so as we look here, we see in these scriptures that the faithful remnant, number one, they feared the Lord. Number two, they spent time together and they grew in Him. And then the third thing we see is this: they were His. They were His. If we read verses 16 and 17 again, they say, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possessions. They will be mine. I will spare them, just as the Father has compassion and spares his Son who serves him. He says there they are his treasured possessions. Their names were written on this scroll, written in the book of life, and they were his. Now, if you read this in the Message, it actually translates to scripture saying, they're mine, all mine. And I love that. God's desire is that we too will be his treasured possessions, that we too will be his, all his. There's a beautiful scripture found in Jeremiah 32 that talks about being God's people. I want to read it to you this morning. I think I have it to go up on the screen. It says this: they will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. Now, here's the thing. After this prophecy of Jeremiah, we know that there were many Israelites that did turn away from God. But there was the faithful few, this faithful remnant who continued to fear the Lord. They continued to walk in his commands, even though no one else in the world was. And they continued to gather and encourage others to lift up his name. They never lost sight of their God. And those few we see have been counted as righteous. Their names were written there in the scroll. They were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the fact is, God invites all of us to be a part of that faithful remnant. We don't serve an exclusive God. We serve an all-inclusive God. His grace and mercy, it abounds to all, to everyone, wherever we are. The only thing is we have to be people who choose to follow him. In Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Jesus says this: enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. These few, these are the faithful remnant, the ones who choose to follow him. Now, let me say this. I think this passage can cause some to actually question the goodness of God. Because after all, if God really wanted to save everyone, why doesn't he just make it easier to be saved? It may seem from the outside sometimes that God is excluding people. Like Christianity is this special exclusive club for the elite. But the thing is, if you read just a few verses earlier, Jesus told those same people in Matthew 7 through 8, a few verses earlier, he said this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus made it clear that the path to eternal life is open to everyone. But it does go through one gate. And that gate is Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through him. when we choose to follow Him and seek to obey His commands, we too become a part of that faithful remnant. We too become His people. And we too will experience the glory of His goodness. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Old Testament as we have walked through it this past year, Lord. We've seen that You are evident all throughout it. Your grace, Your mercy flows in and through these scriptures. And Lord, Your desire is to see Your people come to know You, to see Your people grow in You, to walk in the ways of You, to obey Your commands, to live the lives that You've called us to live. And Lord, we thank You for this faithful remnant that was such an example to all of us, that when most of Israel had turned their back on You, there was this faithful remnant that continued to seek You, that continued to serve You and love You regardless of what everyone else was doing. And Lord, we live in a world and time where many people have turned their backs on You. Many people have begun to live their own lives again, Lord, but we want to be people who are faithful to seek You, to obey Your commands, to live the lives that You've called us to live, that we too would be a part of that faithful remnant, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for anyone here today that has not accepted You as Lord and Savior of their life, that, Lord, they would make that decision, that simple decision of saying, I'm a sinner, I have fallen short, and I need Jesus to save my life. And I want to serve Him and live the life that He's called me to live. I pray that if there's anyone that hasn't made that decision here today, that, Lord, they would say yes to You. Just that simple cry to You saying, Lord, I need You. Come, heal me. Make me whole. Come into my life. Help me to live the life that You've called me to live. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things. We just pray that You allow Your Word to speak to each of us today where we're at. Lord, what is it that You want us to take from this Word? How can we grow and be different tomorrow because of what You spoke into our lives today? And so we thank You for this Word. We give it to You and we pray it in Your precious name. Amen.